Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. We have a very exciting show today and one very dear to my heart, unfortunately. We're going to be talking a lot about age management medicine, which physicians are flocking to as baby boomers kind of march toward their aging process. And it is such a wide topic, we're actually going to focus it a little bit on the hormone aspects of aging. And my guest today is a new guest that we have on the Doctors Roundtable, Dr. Ken Knott. I'd like to welcome you here today.
Thank you.
And let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Knott. First off, and most important, he's a fellow Buckeye to me, so we've been swapping Buckeye stories already. But before that, he got his medical training at the University of Tennessee in Memphis, and then moved on to the Ohio State University to do his residency. And his specialty is physical medicine and rehabilitation.
Correct.
And he's board certified in that specialty as well. And then he came to our fair city of Marriott in 1988, and actually had a very interesting course in his career after that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but welcome.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for having me.
Very good. So some of the research I did on this show when I was looking at almost every day, 8,000 baby boomers turn 65. That's kind of scary, right there. Pretty scary. And age management medicine is really one of the fastest growing specialties right now. And if we're seeing a variety of physicians from different backgrounds come in to focus on this specialty. And one of the things I looked at was this month, actually the month of May, the Age Management Medicine Group held their 14th annual conference, and they attracted thousands of doctors from every state and 25 countries. And what that tells me is not just the patients are paying attention to aging, but the providers are as well. And it's been a long time in coming, and it's kind of speeding up as we're moving along with the patient volume. Would you say that's a fair trend?
I say that's a very fair trend, yes.
Very good. So what I'd like to do is just kind of back up for a minute before we jump into age management medicine and talk about your specialty really is physical medicine, rehab medicine. How did you get interested, and what's been your path from your board-certified specialty to your interest in age management medicine?
Well, about 20 years ago, I was doing all the aspects of physical medicine rehabilitation, primarily physical medicine, and it's really two specialties in one, as the name implies, physical medicine and rehabilitation. I tended to focus on the physical medicine side of the specialty, whereas we give a number of treatment methods for pain conditions, joint problems, head injuries, things of that nature, injection techniques for lower back pain, for example, headaches, all sorts of injuries like that and conditions. And I had a patient that I was doing a procedure known as prolotherapy on. Mm-hmm. And prolotherapy is... It's brand new. It's only been around for 80 years. So,
I like your scale already.
So a lot of doctors don't know about prolotherapy simply because they didn't learn about prolotherapy. But we know that it works. There's been over 100 studies on the subject. And it's a procedure where you inject a tendon, ligament, or capsule of a joint, and it stimulates healing of that tissue by releasing growth factors of that tissue.
So it's kind of like a little bit irritating it to get the joint to heal itself over
Well,
time.
It does. It assimilates the healing response by releasing growth factors in the area as well. You get the native tissue growth. You don't get scar tissue formation. Mm-hmm. But there was a lady in that had been sent to me by a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon who had knee pain. Mm-hmm. And no one could help her. She had been to 9 doctors, and I was number 10. And he asked me if I could do the same thing to her knee that I did to his, because I had injected his knee with prolotherapy, mm-hmm. in spite of the fact the orthopedists say it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And he was back playing golf, so he sent her over to me, and I noticed for many years that I had maybe 4 to 5% of patients that didn't respond to prolotherapy. I never put two and two together, and it took a friend of me to tell me about it, and I'll go into that in just a second. But she was one of those patients, and I thought, this lady is not going to heal with an injection. Mm-hmm. She had a problem, a sprain of a ligament in her knee that was just chronic, and mm-hmm. it would not go away. Her knee was swollen. She couldn't bear weight. Mm-hmm. It was very painful. And something told me not to inject her. I went to a conference a week later, and I met a friend of mine out there who we discussed the case about this lady. And he asked how old she was. I told him, says, is she menopausal? I said, oh, she had a mm-hmm. total hysterectomy and all of that. And he said, oh, well, that's easy. Did you check her testosterone? Well, I'm physical medicine and rehab. We don't get any training in hormonal replacement. Mm-hmm. I said, well, no, but this is also workers' comp, and they don't allow us to check other things that may be leading to the problem, but if she injured her knee, she injured her knee. That's all I can do. He said, well, you just you need to check it anyway. Well, my curiosity got the best of me, so I checked it, and the results came back. It said none detected. Yeah, almost fell out of my chair. I thought, oh, no, I hope my friend's not right. But I was so excited, so I call him on the phone at 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock California time. That's where the conference was, and that's where he lives. And here's how he answered the phone. None detected, right?
Wow.
I said, well, how do you know it was me? He says, everybody else knows that I'm asleep because I'm retired. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't think of that. But anyway, I gave the lady testosterone. Her knee pain was gone in 5 weeks. Wow. That had never happened before in my career, and it got my attention. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I decided to learn more about hormone replacement, and that's led to the present time. And now I lecture on the subject, and I've written a book on the subject. So things tend to evolve.
Right. Very good. So let's start with one of the most common problems in this hormonal issue is hypothyroidism. I know you feel very passionately about that. So we'll talk about other hormones as well, but let's start with that one because it's a pretty big one.
It is a big one. It's very big. It the statistics on the incidence of hypothyroidism are a bit skewed simply because we have been taught how to diagnose hypothyroidism incorrectly. And the gold standard of the TSH is not a really good indicator of hypothyroidism.
And so let's tell the listeners what TSH is.
TSH is thyroid-stimulating hormone. It's a pituitary hormone that's determined by the level of T4 in your system. T4 is a thyroid hormone. Mm-hmm. But we were taught to get these certain tests, and we're missing 5 out of 6 diagnoses. So we have a huge population of hypothyroidism in this country, about 60% of the population. And it's been accepted to be 10%, and since they're missing 5 out of 6, then we've got 60%.
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it affects so many things because the thyroid function, I know, affects almost every organ. So a lot of people think, oh, it's just only metabolism, but since we need energy everywhere for our bodies to work, it affects virtually everything. Can you speak to that?
Well, it affects every cell in your body. Mm-hmm. Every cell has a receptor site for thyroid hormone. Mm-hmm. It affects your ability to conceive. It affects the way you menstruate. It affects the ability to grow hair. It affects the thickness of your nails, your skin. The major complaint I normally see is fatigue, mm-hmm. Weight gain, inability to lose weight, constipation, depression, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and the list goes on and on and on. So instead of treating the underlying hypothyroidism because the tests aren't correct, we treat the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we have multiple medications to treat depression. And we have multiple medications to bring your cholesterol down, and we have multiple medications to treat high blood pressure. Why not treat the hypothyroidism if that is the underlying problem? Mm-hmm. And it's not the underlying problem each time. Please let me emphasize that. But we need to start doing the correct tests.
So before we get into the correct test, I want to just, you mentioned a lot of different symptoms that are manifested by hypothyroidism, but I think a lot of times it's such a gradual thing. People don't notice it because it's not a dramatic change. It's over months or years, and they don't put things together.
Correct.
Okay, so.
If hypothyroidism developed just suddenly Everyone would
diagnose it a lot accurately.
Well, no, the patient would diagnose it. The doctor still get the wrong test and 5 out of 6 times would still miss it.
So let's talk about diagnostic testing.
All right. The diagnostic test normally for thyroid that I was taught in medical school when I was there many, many years ago are still the same as they're taught today, and it's the same in the textbooks. The TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone, the free T4, and the T3 uptake. Those are the tests that are associated with what's called a thyroid profile that the labs offer to be drawn. When in fact, the T4 is not a very important hormone. The T3 is the important hormone. Mm-hmm. It's 4 times more potent than T4. So we spend 2/3 of our time checking the wrong hormone. Mm-hmm. We check T4 and TSH, which are inversely proportional. We check the total T3, but it doesn't tell you how much free T3 is in the system to act at the receptor site. So we don't check the one test that is available.
That's working. That shows what's working or not working.
Shows what's working. So instead of treating patients, though, as doctors, we're taught simply because of the way we're taught, we treat the labs. We don't treat the patient. Mm-hmm. The patient can have every symptom associated with hypothyroidism, but if their TSH is normal, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the patient
They
don't look any further. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So how come they don't do more of the entire panel instead of just the TSH?
Again, it goes back to training. Yeah, it's not the doctors. Mm-hmm. Most doctors are really astute. Mm-hmm. They really are. And most doctors are good people. They're not doing something wrong on purpose. But when the training programs continue to focus on this wrong testing method, they're going to do that because – when we're in medical school, we're thinking we get the best education in the world. It can't be wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of myths out there and a lot of tests that we do that are just incorrect and don't give us any information. Mm-hmm. And that is one example.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So treatment then of hypothyroidism?
Well, treatment involves just replacing the hormones. There's very little we can do to stimulate an underactive thyroid. We can give iodine. Of course, I typically give iodine, which is another topic that I talk about in the book.
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, iodine is one of the atoms that attaches to the thyroglobulin molecule, and that's what makes the hormone active. On the T4, you have 4 atoms of iodine. On the T3, you have 3. And you would think the one with more iodine atoms would be more powerful when, in fact, it really isn't. It's the T3 that's the active hormone. But that's how iodine is important for the thyroid. And a lot of studies have shown what's sufficient to take in every day for the thyroid iodine. Mm-hmm. But it neglects to look at the other factors that iodine's involved in, such as helping your immune system function properly. It kills bacteria, it kills viruses, and it also chelates heavy metals and removes them, detoxifies your body. Mm-hmm. So iodine's very, very important, and it's also been shown and proven to prevent breast cancer, ovarian, and uterine cancer.
Mm-hmm. So diet is the primary source of iodine through iodized salt?
There's not enough in the salt.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not enough. Typically, if you're not eating a diet rich in seaweed, mm-hmm. and we don't, if we're not on the coast, you know, the people of Japan take in an average of 45 milligrams of iodine a day, mm-hmm. 45. And the experts in this country tell us we should only take in 0.2 milligrams. Mm-hmm. The Japanese are some of the most healthy people on the planet, and they don't have any breast cancer. You know, if a lady gets breast cancer, it's going to be written up because it's so rare.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. So thyroxine, or what is the treatment? So you supplement with thyroxine?
Well, thyroxine is T4. And as I indicated earlier, thyroxine is not a very important hormone. T4 is necessary, but it is not the primary hormone. T3 is the primary hormone.
All right.
So I don't treat with just thyroxine. As a matter of fact, I avoid that.
Okay.
Because the most important hormone is missed. Mm-hmm. So I give a combination of T4 and T3, mm-hmm. usually in a desiccated preparation, desiccated thyroid, mm-hmm. like Armour thyroid, West Throid, Nature Throid, things like that. The reason I give that is it's a 4-to-1 ratio of T4 to T3. Seems to work for most people. Some people need more T3. Mm-hmm. And the endocrinology literature most recently has come out with articles indicating that people that have been on thyroxine probably need a little bit of supplemental T3. Mm-hmm. So they're finally coming to realize, you know, what has been evident for all these years.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we didn't talk about is this patient kind of stimulated your hormone thinking and going down that trail. So we kind of been talking kind of subliminally maybe about women.
Right.
But for hypothyroidism, equal men and women?
Well, I think that in the past we thought it was primarily women, but I find a lot of men that have hypothyroidism as well. I think that it is more prevalent in women, but because the testing methods have been off, our results are a little bit skewed.
Mm-hmm. So hard to tell.
We're missing so much of this. How can we really and realistically say, is it half and half or is it 60-40? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But certainly affects both genders.
It does.
You see that in your clinical practice.
I do.
Very good. So we spend a lot of time talking about hypothyroidism, but boy, there's other important hormones. So
yes.
Where would you like to begin next?
Well, you know, this recent activity on the internet and on TV and radio about low T.
Mm-hmm.
The drug companies have caught on to the fact that men are much happier when they have higher levels of testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're advertising it and trying to sell their products of pre-prepared testosterone preparations, which is good. That's fine. But we've been onto this for many, many years in that men need testosterone not only just to do the things that we know testosterone does, but to protect their heart and their bones.
Mm-hmm. So do you, is there screening, just like we talked about the screening for thyroid function?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We do a panel of tests on each man that comes in for what's called andropause or male menopause.
Mm-hmm.
See, the testosterone in men starts going down at about the age of 25,
mm-hmm.
and it goes down progressively the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike women who have a sudden onset of the symptoms associated mm-hmm. with low hormones, mm-hmm. it's a gradual process for men until they feel so bad that they look in the mirror and wonder who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens in the late 40s, 50s, 60s for some guys, and it's associated with low testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the myths of medicine. I was taught in medical school, and it's still being taught, not to give testosterone to a man with heart disease, with atherosclerotic vascular disease. Well, Jens Møller, who's a scientist in Denmark, has been doing an ongoing study for years. Dr. Møller unfortunately died, but it's taken over by another fellow, and Michael Hansen. They're continuing the studies on men and testosterone, but what they noted initially was the guys with high testosterone had no heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the guys with low testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to figure out why this was happening instead of just looking at the results. And they determined that it was because the testosterone has an influence of the growth of plaque. It reduces the incidence of plaque in the arteries when your testosterone is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the same sort of myth was in vogue for many years about testosterone and prostate cancer as well. Oh, you don't want to give testosterone to an older man. He might develop prostate cancer. Well, there's a fellow at Harvard by the name of Abraham Morgenthaler, and he has, in his latest book, he's disproven that theory, and it set the world of urology on its ear because it doesn't cause prostate cancer. There's another factor. We really have a strong suspicion that it's the estradiol that's converted from testosterone to estradiol,
mm-hmm.
estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he has come out and in a book and in papers stated unequivocally it does not cause prostate cancer, mm-hmm. nor does it accelerate existing prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives the urologist a whole lot to think about for the next few years.
And men.
And men.
Now,
yes.
Interesting part of your story was the testosterone story started in a woman. And
yes.
So I think a lot of women think testosterone, that's a guy thing. That's not a female thing. But here you had your very first story that sent you down this path was testosterone in women. So speak
yes.
to testosterone function in women.
Well, testosterone in women also is very helpful for their heart and bone health.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is an anabolic hormone and is necessary for the healing process. And in this lady, that was a perfect example. But the three hormones, progesterone, testosterone, and the estrogens, the three estrogens, are all necessary. Mm-hmm. It's estrogens are also necessary in men. It's just that their levels don't need to be as mm-hmm. high as women. Mm-hmm. And the reverse for testosterone.
Testosterone in men, mm-hmm. in women. Right, yeah. Very good. Now, how do you weigh in on bioidentical hormones? That's a big buzzword, big topic right mm-hmm. now. A lot of women looking into that and...
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of women and a lot of doctors were scared off from hormones because there was a study about 10 years ago called the Women's Health Initiative. Mm-hmm. Well, the Women's Health Initiative was done on one product and one product only. It was called Prempro. Mm-hmm. Prempro is a pharmaceutical patented product that has horse estrogen and a chemical lookalike of progesterone called medroxyprogesterone. And they did the study on that. Well, those aren't bioidentical hormones. Mm-hmm. The incidence of cancer, stroke, and heart disease was higher in the patients taking that. They stopped the study early because the incidence was too high to continue the study. But now that has been generalized, and the baby has been thrown out with the bathwater, so to speak. Oh, I don't want to take hormones because it causes cancer, heart disease, and stroke. No. The study didn't say that. The study only said that Prempro caused that. Mm-hmm. And Prempro is still being sold, by the way. Mm-hmm. But bioidentical hormones have never been linked to that, never. There has never been a study. So anyone that tells you to be careful with hormones is only telling you to exercise caution and that you're going to be responsible if something happens bad to you and all this. But no study's been done. Mm-hmm. There's no money in doing a study on bioidentical hormones.
Mm-hmm. Hence, we see less and less on the clinical side efficacy of that, maybe. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. One of the things that we were talking about before the radio show, actually, is not all women have menopausal symptoms like night sweats, headaches, mood swings, but they are in menopause. What's your take on do they still need hormones? Do they not? Do they need checked? Not symptomatic menopausal women.
If a lady is menopausal and not having any of the what we call nuisance symptoms of night sweats.
I can relate to that. Nuisance.
Hot flashes, moodiness, things of that nature. Yes, they still need their levels checked because those hormones are so vitally important for heart health and bone health. Mm-hmm. The lady who hasn't taken hormones, they get osteoporotic. They start with osteopenia, osteoporosis, they fracture their hip, and then they fall. And you hear about it quite often. Why not simply replace the hormones and prevent that from happening? Mm-hmm. And that's what I do.
Okay. All right. Very good. We've talked a little bit about hormone replacement therapy, some of the thoughts about how there's differing information on products versus bioidentical and some of the thoughts around that. You've written an interesting book here. Just the title alone is interesting. It's called Dangerous Medicine, What Your Doctor Doesn't Know Can Hurt You. So why don't we talk a little bit about how you came to write the book and what are some big thoughts that you had in the book that you're trying to get across?
Well, over the years, you know, I ran into so many things that were just not true based on science. That I was able to research on hormones. Mm-hmm. The test, for example, for thyroid, they're not the best tests. It needs to be tweaked. We need mm-hmm. to work with this in medicine. The problem with medicine is that it's like the Titanic. It takes forever to get it turned around. Mm-hmm. Once we get it turned around, I think the good people in medicine, and it's some vast majority of doctors, would adhere to this because their patients feel better, their patients get better, mm-hmm. and their patients are more healthy.
Mm-hmm. So in the process of researching for the book, was there anything that surprised you from your research or from what you were thinking?
Well, I think one of the things that really surprised me when I really started researching it was the fallacies about iodine. Mm-hmm. Iodine is viewed very skeptically in medicine because we were taught to view it with an area of concern and not overdose people. Mm-hmm. You're overdosed if you go above 0.2 milligrams a day. That's 225 times less than what the Japanese people take per capita. Mm-hmm. 225 times. Mm-hmm. That's outrageous. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting enough iodine in our diet, but the facts surrounding iodine are not known. Mm-hmm. And I would think that the people wanting the cure for breast cancer should develop a keen interest in iodine if they truly want to prevent breast cancer.
You look at populations that don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or have very low incidence.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Start telling and educating women, you probably need some iodine. Go to your doctor and talk about it. And the doctor needs to educate himself because we weren't educated properly on the subject of iodine.
Mm-hmm. So in the hormone realm, what are some primary tips if we had to leave our listeners with three or four things to think about as they're thinking about their own hormone function, where they are in their life, what's available out there?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to think about the older people that you know and imagine all the drugs they're taking. If you want to end up the same way, then just ignore your hormones.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important it is, particularly your thyroid. The thyroid is the most important hormone. If you don't get that adjusted properly, I say properly, because I have so many patients come in that are taking the thyroxine and are still not balanced because the thyroxine drives your TSH down, and the doctors have been taught if it gets below a certain level, then you stop there or you reduce the dosage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mistake. They don't look at the T3. But if you want to ignore that, then you're probably going to end up just like your older people that you know and taking multiple pills for multiple symptoms from low hormones. And thyroid is the most prevalent as far as producing these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So circling back around then to the aging medicine component of this, one of the bits of your advice is take a look at your hormones as part of your aging process, get properly measured, get the right advice.
Yeah. Well, let me make this clear. There's a movement out here. It's called anti-aging medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not appropriate because we can't do anything to stop the aging process. Not yet. You know, maybe in the future, but right now we're stuck. You know, we're dealt a hand of cards and we got to deal with it. The thing you can do is change the things that you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
You have control over your hormones. You and your doctor do. Mm-hmm. You have control over your diet. You have control of your exercise. And you have control over the stress in your life for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have some influence on changing those aspects of your life and probably add years to your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
add your health span.
And yes.
Yeah. Increase your health span.
Improve your quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most people agree they don't want to live to be 80 years old if their last 20 years is miserable.
Right.
And I would think people wouldn't mind living to 80 if they're still healthy at that 80th year.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any advances coming in your specialty that you're excited about that you see coming down the pike? There's so much new medical information, seems like almost every day in terms of this. People, a lot of people paying attention to this aging issue.
Yeah. Well, ironically, some of the better treatment methods for hormonal replacement are old. It's just that we have been so enthralled with all the technology that we're trying to replace natural hormones with synthetic counterparts, and it doesn't do as good a job.
Mm-hmm.
So in an effort to make things better, we actually have gone the other way.
Kind of gone backwards
gone a little backwards, and that's a problem. There are some things coming around that are very interesting. For example, everybody's heard the buzz about human growth hormone and all the athletes taking HGH and all this. And when an athlete takes a substance that increases his ability to hit a ball out of the park or run a little faster, that's an undue, unfair advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're correct in screening for all that. But when a regular person is deficient in those hormones and needs it, then they simply need it.
Mm-hmm.
And growth hormone is a tremendous marker for the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
If your growth hormone level is low, you're going to probably age a little bit faster than you would if your growth hormone level was higher.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So lots of continued research in that area.
Well, there's
and a lot of interest, a lot of public interest.
A lot of interest. There's one product that's coming out that I'm just reading about that you inject yourself once a week instead of every day, which would be advantageous for all my patients who use that and who are growth hormone deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone is that I see.
Mm-hmm. Any other advances like stem cell use, genetic testing that are affecting this hormone realm?
Well, you know, we're using platelet-rich plasma and stem cells and injecting joints and capsules and tendons and ligaments already. already. Mm-hmm. We're already doing that. So that's not new. It's just that we can't alter the cells by the processes that we use mm-hmm. to isolate the cells because we have a new cellular network as far as stem cells. So we're sort of limited in that regard, but we can use mesenchymal and fat-derived stem cells in treating those ligaments and tendons.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So continued research there, too. We learn more every single day. Well, we're almost to the end of our time. Is there any last tips or words of wisdom or directives that you have for our audience out there in your specialty?
Well, you know, the title of my book begins with Dangerous Medicine, and the reason why I chose that title is because it is dangerous to ignore these symptoms mm-hmm. of low hormones. Replace the hormones with what you should replace them with the same hormones that your body's been making its entire life. That's what bioidentical hormones are. Mm-hmm. Don't replace with chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Try to give yourself the best chance you have of living a longer and healthier life mm-hmm. by replacing these hormones. If you don't, it becomes dangerous because you subject yourself to the development of these diseases that we've talked about, depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, mm-hmm. things of that nature. So try
and
to avoid that.
That's an element in our control.
And that
that's,
is under,
that isn't an element in our control.
That's an element under our control with the right doctor because a lot of doctors are very reluctant to treat these sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, so let's tell the listeners how they can find you.
You can find me by calling 770-421-8094. I'm located in Marietta. I have another office in Midtown, but that's under construction.
Okay, very good. And you also have a website?
I have a website. It's called managingyourage.com.
Very good. And the name of the book, again, is Dangerous Medicine, What Your Doctor Doesn't Know Can Hurt You. And how would they get a copy of the book?
It's on Amazon.com. You can download it to Kindle. You can download it with e-books. It'll soon be on store shelves. We're going to be on a show on CNN, and we just taped a segment for some New York stations as well.
Very good. Well, congratulations on all the book success, and we certainly appreciate you being with us today, and we've had a great time, and we'll look forward to your next visit back.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks to all you listeners out there for listening this afternoon, and tune in next week.
The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week, and thank you for listening.